The book of Psalms, chapter 18. But to watch about preaching on war, Brother Bill will be picking all these songs. Notice with me in Psalms 18, reading the first couple of verses here. This is a long psalm, 50 verses. We're just going to briefly give an overview of it. I want to cover a psalm here on each Wednesday night. There's no way to get down in the text and really look at every verse. He said in verse 1, he said, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God and my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Father, we thank you tonight for your love and mercy to us this evening. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the time that you've given us together, that we can sing the songs of Zion, Lord. We can kneel here around this altar, Lord, and pray to Thee collectively as a church. God, we thank you for the privileges that you've given us to do this. We ask, Lord, tonight that you lead us and guide us in truth and righteousness. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We find that as we come to this psalm, another psalm of David, a psalm of victory, this psalm is also found in 2 Samuel chapter 22, probably written after the death of Saul as David has become king, found twice in the Bible in the history of Israel and also in the hymn book of Israel as well. And it's probably not just dealing with one victory, but it's probably dealing with many victories that God had given to the children of Israel. Now, if we were to divide the psalm up, and again, I'm just going to give a little overview here of this evening and the time we have together, but verses 1, 2, 3 is a declaration of David's love and his trust toward his God. Then in verses 4 through 19, we have this subject is dealing with deliverance. He talks about the deliverance that God has given to him. Verses 20 through 28, we have the integrity of God, His righteous judgments. And then in verses 29 through 45, He gives God the glory and praise here. And of course, the chapter ends with thanksgiving to the Lord God for the deliverance that He had given to him. And again, we'll find verses, there's at least a few verses in this chapter that is referred to in the New Testament, especially verses 2 and verse 49 that points to the Messiah. Now notice as we begin here in verse 1, David, he says here, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Then he begins talking about some characteristics of the Lord in verse 2. Now, you know, one of the reasons that I wanted to go through the book of Psalms and teach out of Psalms here on Wednesday night is that we, as I began in actually Psalms 119, and we spent several weeks in that chapter, I began to seeing, and I knew this, but it even became more real to me, the importance of the teachings of Psalms. In other words, knowing who that God is. And that's when David writes here, he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. We find that in Psalms 119, I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but in verse 97, 127, and 167, that David talks about loving the law of the Lord. And as we come to the book of Psalms here, we find that in this verse, in verse 1, David speaks as one who is in love with the Lord, and that he adorns the Lord with praise. And when we consider the teachings of Psalms, as one man put it, I believe he said, if you want to be wise, read the book of Proverbs. If you want to be holy, read the book of Psalms. And as we continue through and begin looking at Psalms, we realize the will of God that is revealed to us in the book of Psalms. We realize that it is a book of doctrine. But it was the hymn book of the nation of Israel. They sang these psalms. The early church sang these psalms. And we realize the importance of knowing God's will, His way, His favor, which are found to us throughout the book of Psalms. I was reading this past week in the book of Jeremiah, and it reminded me of the things that we talked about last Sunday morning, dealing with blessings and curses that come up on a nation out of Deuteronomy chapter 28. You know, one of the things that will come upon a nation when they're in rebellion against God is basically insanity or blindness or madness, as we read there. I heard a report today about 6 of our ports being turned over to foreigners. And isn't that amazing? You know, and some of the things that are taking place in our country. And we find that, as I mentioned, the book of Jeremiah, there's a group of people came to Jeremiah, and they were not a large group of people, but they are a group of people. They were afraid of a few things. They were afraid of the invasion of Nebuchadnezzar. They were afraid of famine, war, and pestilence, and things like that. And they came to the man of God, and they said, "Would you tell us what God's will is for our life? Should we stay here in Judea, or should we leave? What should we do?" They said to the man of God, "Tell us what we need to do, and we will do it." In Jeremiah 42 and 43, Jeremiah spent 10 days fasting and praying and seeking God's face. And he went back to these people and he said, "Here's what God said to do. He said for you not to leave, but he said for you to stay right here, and his hedge would be around you and he would protect you." And then they called Jeremiah a liar. Now, the man had spent 10 days seeking God's will for a question that they'd given him. Then they called him a liar. You know what they did? Instead of obeying God's will, they headed out for Egypt to find safety. Well, you remember the verses I talked about Sunday morning about the blessings will overtake you, and the definition that I gave for that? It literally will run you down and leap upon you, and the curses will also do the same thing, and you cannot get away. If you obey God, you can't get away from His blessings. If you disobey God, you can't get away from His curses. Well, Nebuchadnezzar was going to invade Jerusalem. We know that that did happen, and that was where he was going to go. But as these people disobeyed God and left and went to Egypt, guess what happened? God sent Nebuchadnezzar on down to Egypt after them, and they ended up with war and famine and pestilence and being destroyed. Now, that's one of the reasons here on Wednesday night, as we come here to pray, that I wanted to take the book of Psalms. And not only is it a devotional type book, but we have doctrine here, but we have things here over and over and over again about trusting the Lord, following His will, believing His word, staying within His presence and having His hedge around you. And notice with me as we come here now, and he says here in verse 1, "I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength." Now again, I gave you some verses there, and David had a love for the Lord. There's many today that seem to love salvation, but they do not love the Savior. They love the concept of being saved and not having to go to hell, but it does not seem like they love the Savior. A man, I would have never admitted this, but if it had even been true, but had a man tell me today that basically he does not even go to church on Sunday. The only reason he comes on Wednesday night to the church he goes to is because they cook a big dinner. And he basically told me today that's the reason that he went to church. I was witnessing this man, and he said, "I'll go," and tell me where he went. And he said, "But I go on Wednesday night because that's when we can go and eat." There's no spirituality at all in this man. I doubted his salvation. But in other words, he goes to church so that he can eat. David said here in verse 1, and by the way, God deserves the warmest love or affections of our heart. And he says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Now, if we spend 10 minutes on verse 1, we're surely not going to get through 49 or 50 verses. But he says in verse 2, he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer and my strength, and in whom I will trust, and my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And as we look at these verses here, we find that David is talking about the fact, I want you to notice he said, my God. As he said in Psalms 23, the Lord is what? My shepherd. He didn't say the Lord is a shepherd. But here he talks about the Lord is my God. John Calvin said of this verse, David here equips the faithful from head to foot. And he does. And so we find here, you could preach a sermon on either one of these names that are mentioned here, but a lot of things might be classified as vain repetition, but the things that we find in the Word of God in the book of Psalms may be repetitious, but they're not vain repetitions. And so David is simply, again, in these first few verses describing it's a declaration of his love and his trust to the Lord, or in the Lord. Verse 3, talking about him praying, he said, and I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And the word worship comes from the old Anglo-Saxon word worth. And we worship, we give worship to the one who is worthy. And he's saying, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. He says in verse 4, now verses 4 through 19 again describes how God delivered David. And again, we're not talking about necessarily just one battle here. We're talking about an entire life of deliverance that he has. We find that in verses 4 through 19 it is a picture of God's deliverance in graphic figures. As we'll just read some of these and you'll notice these, but it's as when God revealed himself to Moses at Mount Sinai. The power of God is set forth in these verses here, as lightning and smoke and earthquakes and things like that. You read about that in the book of Exodus chapter 19 and 20 and chapter 24 when God met with the children of Israel. But he said in verse 4, he said, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. And he said, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and then my cry came before him, even in his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations also, the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. He says here, and notice just the description. As you read down through here, death took hold of him, verse 4. In verse 5, from all sides, the enemy was there. In verse 6, he begins calling and crying out to God. In verse 7, we find that there's not much space between the cry and the answer from God. He says here in verse 7, then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundation also, the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. We find that many things have been shaken over the years when God is angry and He comes in His wrath. We find that just because of prayer and supplication and singing and praise that with Paul and Silas, that the doors of the jail, the prisons, were opened by the Lord shaking the prison. And he said in verse 8, he said, there went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured, and coals were kindled by him. In verse 8, we find here this portrays God as pouring forth smoke in the heat of His wrath. And in other words, He's angry with the wicked and the enemies of David. Then in verse 9, we find Him describing God coming near in judgment. In verse 9, He said, He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under His feet. And He rode upon the cherub and did fly, yea, and He did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness His secret places, His pavilion round about Him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. And as you look in verse 10, even when Jesus hung on the cross, There was darkness in the land. The veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. And there was an earthquake and the graves were open. And men, women came out of the graves, you see, after that Jesus was raised and went into the city and declared themselves. These are things that are talking about God's judgment and His deliverance. Then, as you come to verse 12, you find the artillery of heaven is discharged. He said in verse 12, "At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hail, stones, and coals of fire." Notice with me in verse 13, these are the weapons of heaven's vengeance here. He said, "The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire." He said in verse 14, "Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them." Again, describing what has taken place with God's deliverance. And verse 14 shows us that God is never at his loss for weapons. And verse 15, God's assault even changed nature, according to verse 15. And then in verse 16, here's the rescue. "He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place, and He delivered me because He delighted in me." Again, verse 18, well, the strong enemy could not fight against the Lord. In verse 18, he said the Lord was his stay. And then in verse 19, he said he brought me into a large place. Well, Joseph was brought out of a small place into a large place. He was brought out of prison into the palace. David was brought out of the cave to the throne. So he said he brought me into a large place. In other words, God blessed him and protected him. And notice with me as we continue, and as you come to verse 20 through verse 28, you have the basis of God's deliverance in these verses. And you find that, notice in verse 20, and again, this is important. I said a moment ago that a man stated, if you want to be wise, read the book of Proverbs. If you want to be holy, read the book of Psalms. David said in verse 20, he said, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not done wickedly, departed from my God. For all His judgments were before me, and I did not put away His statutes from me." Again in Psalms, many places in Psalms 119, David said, "I love the Lord. I love His Word. I love His law." And so we find the basis for deliverance. "According to my righteousness," David said. David is simply pointing out the fact that God rewarded him. He tried to keep God's law. He tried to keep his hands clean. He tried to walk in faithfulness and righteousness before God. That is, he's not bragging about the fact that he has no sin. He's just simply saying, "I love the Lord. I've tried to follow His will. And God is rewarding me for that." And again, as I spoke Sunday morning in Deuteronomy chapter 28, we find that every area of our lives are either touched by either blessing, disobedience, or obedience. In other words, blessings or curses. Every area of our life, we're either obedient to God or disobedient. We're either blessed of God or either we experience God's curses. And David is saying here that God blesses righteousness. Those who try to walk in His will, that God's blessings is upon that. In verse 23, "I was also upright before Him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in His eyesight." He said here, "With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. And with the upright, thou wilt show thy uprightness. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the forward, thou wilt show thyself forward." He said, "For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks." Again, dealing with the issue of proud, those who look down upon others, God's saying that He will deal with them. And then as we come to verse 29 through 45, another division here, we find he begins giving God the glory. And we find the fruit of a thankful heart that is mentioned here. Now, it was Spurgeon that said that some repetitions are not vain repetitions, and how true. We find a lot of repetitious writings throughout the book of Psalms, and still yet this is not vain repetition. As we come through this, we find, again, he begins giving God the glory. There is a picture here in verse 29 through 45 of a deep gratitude from David. And he gives God credit for everything. He gives God credit for the victories, for preparing the way, for training him, for teaching him how to fight, for leading in battle. He gives God the glory for everything that is mentioned here. You see, that's one of the problems that the children of Israel run into. When you read Psalms 106, verses 13, and the surrounding verses, you find that the children of Israel, the Bible says that God blessed them, brought them through the Red Sea and a number of wonderful things, but it said then they forget or they forgot God's law. They forgot about Him. And then as we read in Psalm or 1 Corinthians 10 in verse 10, one of the sins that God charged Israel with was murmuring and complaining. They had forgot the deliverances that God had given them. They began murmuring and complaining. They forgot what that God has accomplished for them. And David here in these verses is trying to remind himself as well as whoever that would read this that the Lord was the one that brought about his deliverance in every way, gave him everything that he needed, taught him how to fight, and taught him how to live. In verse 29, he says, "For by Thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, His ways is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms." You see, he's given God credit for everything. For his life, his health, his ability to fight, of destroying the enemies, everything. He's saying, "I give God credit for everything." Again, we see the fruit of a thankful heart in these verses here. And then, as we come down toward the end of this chapter, I want you to notice with me as we come to verse 46. Come down with me to verse 46. Again, continued thanksgiving in these verses. He said in verse 46, he said, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth all people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies, yea, and thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man." Notice how he closes these verses. Paul cites verse 49 in Romans 15 and verse 9. And the clear evidence that David's Lord is here, but David is here also. But he said in verse 49, he said, "Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathens, and sing praise unto thy name." And then he says in verse 50, this is the winding up the chapter, and we see that the major issue is great deliverance. Notice this. He says in verse 50, "Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore." And David, God never forgot about the covenant that he had made with David. God made a covenant with him. And he never forgot about that covenant. And David ends this chapter, as he does others that we've read, with thanksgiving and praise. He said, "Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore." And again, I keep thinking about the verses that we read Sunday morning. in Deuteronomy chapter 28, dealing with blessings and dealing with curses. And again, as David writes this psalm, he says, I tried to be obedient to God and He blessed me in every way, you see. And another wonderful song, a little longer than some of the ones we've looked at up to this point, but it's a tremendous psalm. I challenge you to just read over it and consider this psalm. I believe it's important that we read the Psalms daily as we read the Proverbs. They're very important to us. And they were very important to the people of the Old Testament. They were very important to the early church. They were very important during the Dark Ages, during the times of persecution, and during the Reformation time. The Psalms were very, very important. They were very important to the Christians throughout this entire church age, as we would call it. So we'll stop here, and let's take up a prayer request.